dress up your pet. Take a photo and enter it into the Petoween photo contest at SheridanMedia.com. You'll have a chance to win $100 in chamber bucks from Mandy Koltiska with Century 21 BHJ Realty and a $100 gift card to Shipton's Big R. You can enter one time each day through Halloween night. Winners by most votes. Petoween, presented by Shipton's Big R and Mandy Koltiska with Century 21 BHJ Realty. Enter now at SheridanMedia.com.
This public service announcement brought to you by Atlas Chiropractic. Your healing begins when you pick up the phone.
Tom Hebert with the Natural History Museum of Wyoming here in Sheridan. It's our pleasure to announce our annual gala being held December 1st, 5 p.m. to 11 p.m. at the Sheridan Ramada. The focus of the event is to help us raise funds to continue to support our Kids Digs program, Vets Digs programs, add exhibits, and extend our hours. Get your tickets now and join us December 1st at 5 p.m. And you might even get a chance to win the right to name a dinosaur.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Thursday, October 23rd. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. Joining me this morning is Sheridan County Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd.
Good morning.
You know, I got to thinking about something. We're having a much better year this year than we did last year, Sheriff. I think the majority of our interviews around this time last year all dealt with that elk fire.
Yeah. No, it was funny. I had one of the gentleman that came and blew out our sprinkler system yesterday afternoon. We were having the same exact conversation that you brought up, that hey, this year is a lot better than last year. Just 2024 in general was just a rough year.
A long summer, wasn't it?
Yeah, long summer, rough year for law enforcement in our community in general. Yeah. And so 2025 has been a lot better year.
Much better year. Now Weed and Pest is on the ball, trying to get all that stuff done. I got an airplane flying over my house about every weekend. But hey, he's doing good work out there, so I don't mind. He can fly over every day as long as we don't get any invasive grasses. How have things been at the office?
They've been good. We were, busy. We've got some big cases that our deputies and staff have been working hard on, and they're doing a great job, but, a lot of, very fluid and stuff, but, nothing that's, a safety concern for the community or anything, but our staff, throw it out to them that they've done a great job.
Sheriff, just out of curiosity, you've been doing this job for a number of years. What's the longest case you ever worked on? Just curious.
Oh gosh, you can have a case. I mean, we've worked cases that have the investigation, goes over a year. When you're looking at those, and I can recall a few, and Lieutenant Sanders can probably talk to some of those. But yeah, I mean, even from a time maybe when an arrest is made, but then the follow up and the investigation continues. So when they're booked into our facility, and we're, getting those cases prepared for prosecution and working with the county attorney's office, there's a lot of follow-up that goes into those cases so they can be presented in court and be a successful prosecution. And so, that's just, once they make it into the facility of the Sheridan County Detention Center, that investigation is not over. Oftentimes, yeah. Still a lot of work that goes into that.
The arrest is not the end, is it, LT?
Yeah, correct. It's really only the beginning. Just to kind of add on what the sheriff said, those cases that go longer, my longest case that I can recall was approximately 3 years, and it was actually an aggravated robbery case with four suspects. But that's kind of what created the continuation there, is the four suspects weren't from our area. We were able to get one, and then we had to continue to investigate the case and other cases to ultimately get the other three suspects.
Well, have either of you had any time to go hunting this year?
Yes, yes.
You did. Good, good.
Well, I started doing a little bird hunting. Not started. I've always enjoyed bird hunting, but been able to get, out and do some bird hunting this fall so far. but have been following our oldest son, Will, around. Will's been, you know, last year with the elk fire, you know, put a damper into his hunting season. He's a big hunter and fisher and really enjoys that fly fishing and hunting. And I followed him around. I'm just there, you know, and I tell him that, you know, I'm along for the ride. But yeah, he's been out. He's got a bear tag, elk tag, and a deer tag. And I think last week we were talking, I think our Onyx showed that he had put on, hiked 57 miles in 9 days.
Holy cow.
But yeah, no, he filled his deer tag, his mule deer, got a nice 4x4, you know, on some public land this last Sunday evening. But yeah, and now it's, hey, elk hunting this weekend and just, you know, on and on. But yeah, so we've gotten out. And
that's fantastic. You know, kids that grow up doing that kind of stuff, I think they just learn certain lessons or get a different type of experience. And I every day I thank my lucky stars that we live in an area where getting outside is just part of being here. You know, 50, what'd you say, 57?
57 miles in 9 days.
My goodness.
Yep.
I know some guys, I got a friend in Colorado, and he starts training himself to go bow hunting, I think sometime around the beginning of summer. I think June. He's on Stairmasters. He's doing everything he can to simulate walking up hills. And he trains all summer long just to have a week or 2 weeks to himself to get out there and walk around. So it's pretty amazing. Now, as we head into the fall hunting season, what are some of the most important firearm safety rules that hunters should remember? Just a quick little caveat, yeah, sir. I was in a truck when somebody did not put a safety on. We hit a bump, and that truck had a new hole in the floor. After that, just a bump is all it took, and boy, that weapon fired.
Yeah, you have to be diligent with firearms, and I think, you know, even some of the accidents that we've seen, you know, firearms accidents throughout the years that we've investigated, are folks that know how to handle and they've had a long experience with handling those. And it's just that one, you know, hey, you know, you just forget, or you think you can cut a corner or whatnot. But, you know, with hunting season being here, you know, when we're talking rifle season opened up, you know, archery was earlier in the fall, but we really want to hit on some of these firearms rules that, you know, that folks, when you're out the gun range, when you're out in the field hunting, you know, remember, these are kind of the four global rules of firearm safety. And it's, number one, treat every firearm as if it were loaded. I mean, if it, you know, that's number one, just treat every gun as if it were loaded. Number two is to keep that barrel pointed in a safe direction at all times. You know, don't point that barrel at anything you're unwilling to shoot. And mm-hmm. So, you know, regardless of that, the third is keep your finger out of the trigger guard until you're ready to shoot. And the last is know your target and know what's beyond. And I'll tell you a story, you know, just recently that my son and I, we were hunting some public land and some adjacent private land to the sides of us and adjacent to us. And there was some mule deer that were kicked up, headed our way. And we were, you know, on the public land and we were down and we had orange on. And we see a side-by-side coming up, and they're, you know, coming up, and those deer are coming right at us, and we're down, and we're behind a, you know, a sagebrush, and we realized real quick, these folks, as I'm looking in the binoculars, it's us, the deer, and the folks in the side-by-side, and he's getting out, and he's looking on, and so my son and I both had to get up right away and see that, and they saw that, and it was great, but, you know, you have to know your target mm-hmm. and what's beyond, so especially when you're out, you know, you're hunting a vast area, you know, glassing the areas with, you know, when you're getting ready to shoot, and make sure that there's no hunters, you know, beyond what you're hunting, because it's very important.
That's an excellent point. You know, sometimes we get a little fixated on our target, fixated on the prey. We got to remember what's beyond that. Wyoming Game and Fish actually told us they have a story about someone on the freeway ended up getting a bullet through their window. No one was harmed, from what I understand. But that was just some hunter who was out trying to get himself an antelope. And he didn't even know that there was the freeway beyond that. Yeah. I mean, those bullets fly a lot farther than people think.
You know, if you miss and it didn't hit anything, I mean, they will travel and travel. So those are the four, you know, firearm safety rules that we want folks to remember. And then also being out in the, wearing orange, right? Us having orange on, it's a rule regulation within Wyoming Game and Fish when you're rifle hunting and you're out is to have orange on. And it's for those instances that we, you know, just spoke to. And then when you're out in the field, you know, always, you know, ensure, you know, don't be traveling in a vehicle with a loaded firearm. You know, don't have, you know, rounds in the chamber. You know, make sure that it's unloaded. When you're walking and you're out in the field, you know, again, always follow those four firearm safety rules, but then just make sure that you're handling those. If you're handing a firearm to somebody else, make sure the action's open, the safety's on. You know, the gun's unloaded, those types of things, crossing fences and those types of things. Don't cross fences, you know, or obstacles with the firearm loaded. Again, if there's somebody else that's there, you know, again, unloaded gun, action open, safe, hand that firearm to them, cross the fence, they hand it back to you, those types of things. Again, because a lot of those accidents occur when folks are just trying to, you know, you're trying to get to a destination. You're trying to be successful in a hunt, but you can't forget that you need to slow down and make sure you're safe doing those things.
Absolutely. We all understand we got ground to cover. It's rough terrain out there, but, you know, if you an accident ends up happening, the whole situation is going to go south real fast. So how often do deputies actually encounter accidents that you feel could have been prevented by following just these basic rules?
Yeah, I would say every accidental discharge, you know, within that our office has investigated throughout the years, if folks followed those four simple rules, they could have all been prevented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes down to even, you know, cleaning your firearm. We see you know, these accidental discharges and somebody getting shot while they're cleaning their firearm. Again, number one rule, treat every firearm as if it were loaded. Those individuals, you know, forgot, maybe they come back from, you know, a hunting trip and they forgot that they left around in the chamber or whatever. And they're, you know, manipulating the gun thinking that it's unloaded. They pull the trigger and either an accidental discharge or a handgun. And, you know, you get around through the leg, through the hand, what have you. So, you know, all of those accidental discharges and, you know, where somebody was injured from that, if they had followed those four firearm safety rules, you know, again, you know, don't point at anything you're not willing to shoot, your hands in front of that barrel and you're, you know, and you haven't done everything else. And yeah, so it's, yeah, they could have all been prevented.
Now, let's switch gears on this. When folks are going out hunting by themselves, and this is something that my father did frequently. He would pack in and he'd be gone for 2 weeks, but it was him, his horse, and his mule. Why is it so important to tell someone where you're going if you're going to be packing in by yourself?
Well, first and foremost, if you either get hurt or injured, obviously you want help to come find you and get you out of there. A lot of times, especially with us having the Bighorn Mountains right here, that vast area, communication's difficult, right? Or non-existent. So that might be the only primary means that we have if a family member calls saying, hey, I haven't heard from so-and-so. He was supposed to return on this date. That allows us to utilize search and rescue to specifically go to the area, right? It's still generally kind of a big area, right, that these guys are hunting. But if we can refine it, it makes much more likely that we'll get you quicker.
And what kind of information should I write down?
Usually what they like is the hunting camp, the type of vehicle. Like if we have, sometimes people don't know the vehicle plate or whose vehicle they're taking. So it's always nice to know the vehicle that was taken, if they're with anybody else, where the camp is generally going to be, because most likely they know where they're camping. And then the areas are going to be hunting. And lastly, which we get a lot of these, and we've already had one this year, is when you intend on being back.
Yeah.
We get a lot when weather kicks in, obviously, colder weather is much better hunting. But when that happens, they usually don't return. They'll stay another day, especially if they haven't gotten anything, but they don't communicate that to a family member. So then we get that call at like midnight, 1 a.m. They're like, hey, husband was supposed to return by 5 p.m. and it's now 1 a.m. And so then we're trying to get going with search and rescue. And generally speaking, in this occurrence, we recently had it. He just wanted to stay another day and hunt.
Yeah.
But obviously getting the ball rolling with search and rescue is very difficult at nighttime. They generally like to hit it during daytime so they can get their bearings as well.
When elk hunting with my father and my uncle, we were lucky. We had the whole family there at camp. But we ended up getting an elk on the last day, but he was pretty far in there. So Dad said, well, okay, we're going to dress it out. And tomorrow me and your uncle are going to come in here and take the rest of it. And that was a day longer than what we had planned. This happens quite regularly. So I would think maybe, and you can say I'm wrong if I say this, but you give a time that you plan on being back. But then maybe say, hey, maybe another 24 hours before you call law enforcement.
Yeah.
Is that okay to say?
Yeah. And every situation is different, right? I mean, you know, we talk about and have chatted with some friends about this, but when you're hunting by yourself, you've already broken one rule in the sense of you're by yourself, right? Yeah. And so you have to follow everything else and you have to do everything to a tease to keep yourself safe and to keep your family from worrying about you. So if you're by yourself, I would say bring that window down shorter than you know, even 24 hours, because if you're by yourself and you get injured and you got injured on day two and you were planning on being there for 4 days and, you know, and then so day four hits, they haven't heard from you and now you're waiting an extra fifth day and you can't get to help, right? If you're with a hunting party, yeah, you can extend that a little bit. Hey, we might, if we get something at the very last day that we're planning on being there, we might be an extra day or 12 hours or whatnot before we can help you. But when you're by yourself, you know, especially if you you're out horseback riding or something and you get bucked off and you can't get to any help and now you're there, in day two of a day four trip, and then your family says, well, you know, they said to wait an extra day. You know, that's an extra day that, every situation is a little different.
I would just say, if you're going by yourself, stick to your time.
Yep. To your time. Absolutely. And, you know, technology is getting so, you know, all of the, we've talked about this on this show many times, but I mean, all the technology that comes up, one thing that, you know, the new iPhones, you can get satellite. So you can send out satellite messages.
Oh, wow.
You can connect and it gives you so many characters. And so if you don't have cell phone service, your iPhone can still connect to a satellite and send out a message. And, I know our son has that capability. He goes up fly fishing a lot and he'll let us know, you know, and stuff and check in. But, even if it's an emergency, you know, that's how those come off. That's how... two means with the airplane crash that we had, you know, a while back, the young boy was able to send out a message through his iPhone like that with that satellite capability. And so, so technology and those types of things. But yeah, when you're by yourself, you know, that rule number one's been broken of when you're going alone. So,
well, and I would say if you've got that capability on your phone, learn how to use it. Learn how to use it effectively and efficiently. That way, if something does happen, you can get a message off right now and make sure that the search and rescue and the sheriff are coming up to help you out. I got to take a quick commercial break, but there is one more question that I had. We have such a fantastic search and rescue team. How long does it take to get everybody in one spot and really get to the job?
Yeah, you know, we do. We have great search and rescue members and volunteers, and to mobilize them and get them, you know, deployed, it depends on, you know, dispatch does a great job. Dispatch will page out our search and rescue, and primarily their role is to respond directly to the search and rescue headquarters. If there's individuals that are close by, they may deploy with their hasty team and hasty packs, and they may deploy straight to the scene and kind of get, you know, and if there's enough, then they'll start searching if it's a search, lost person or anything like that, or a rescue, to start giving a scene size up of what's going on. But typically, you know, we hope within 30 minutes to an hour that our team members are, you know, getting ready and heading to where they need to be. You know, once they get and they, you know, t- touch base with the deputies that have taken the initial call. You know, they'll make a few follow-up calls if needed and the resources that they need, and then they're out and about. So,
and on that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan County Sheriff's Office right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
The Wyo Theater and Trident Theater team up for the fifth year in a row to present the cult classic, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Join us as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the release of the film, as we use a shadow cast of local actors to follow along with some of your favorite scenes. Callbacks, costumes, and props are encouraged during the performance. Join this sexy and spooky sci-fi party at 7 p.m. on October 30th at The Wyo. Check out wyotheater.com to get your tickets. The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Let's do the time warp again. Rated R.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Hungry at lunchtime? Then come to Lunch Together every weekday from 12 to 12:45. Enjoy a home-cooked meal absolutely free. Just neighbors, good food, and a warm welcome. Whether you're short on funds, short on groceries, or just for a meal with friends, Lunch Together is for you. Join us at the First Congregational Church, 100 West Worth. It's right across from the old First Interstate drive-thru.
It's Thursday, and SheridanMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace Hot Buys are open today only. One day pop-up shop featuring local retailers, gifts, gear, goodies with starting bids at half price. Bidding closes at 8 p.m. tonight. Go to SheridanMedia.com. Click on that Fall Marketplace Hot Buys banner every Thursday. SheridanMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace. Shop smart, shop local, shop today till 8 p.m.
This Friday night is senior night in the final home game of the 2025 regular season for the Sheridan Bronc football team, and they'll be looking to finish off their fourth regular season in a row undefeated with a matchup against Laramie to close it out. If you can't make it to the field, don't worry. Sheridan Media will bring you all the action live. You can listen on 1410 AM and 106.9 FM KWYO, or you can watch the free live stream on SheridanMedia.com or on the Sheridan Media YouTube and Facebook pages. It's the Plainsmen versus the Bronx Friday night, pregame at 5:30 and kickoff at 6.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning we're speaking with Sheridan County Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. We're going to have to let the sheriff go here in a little bit. He's got an engagement that he has to get to. But one thing that I wanted to touch on, you, and we'll make this really fast, the county partially lifted its fire restrictions this week. What does that mean for residents and hunters alike?
Yeah, so the county lifted. So it's always, you know, when you talk about the fire bans on or whatever, it's always partial fire restrictions. There's, you know, there's certain restrictions that can and can't be done. All of that has been lifted as of Tuesday, October 21st. So, you know, in the morning time, the commissioners lifted that partial fire ban. So, you know, individuals that are out, you know, in the county that were doing some, need to do some prescribed burns, they have some burn piles or things like that, they can certainly burn those, you know, before that. And that was something the county wanted to allow to happen. And so that was what you couldn't do during when the fire ban was on, the partial fire restrictions were put in place. And so we just want to ask all those folks to still be mindful. You know, it's still dry out there, you know, and there is still a potential for fire, but, we've gotten a lot of moisture throughout the summer, gotten a lot of moisture throughout the last few weeks, that the, you know, the propensity for something, a fire to become bigger is you know, low, and the chance that our fire districts can get on top of something. But if you are going to burn, make sure you call dispatch to let them know that you're doing a controlled burn in an area. So if folks and citizens start to see smoke in that area and they call it in, our dispatch center, the dispatch center can, you know, say, nope, that's a controlled burn in the area. You know, put your pride out of it. If you're there with a controlled burn and it starts to get a little out of control, call for help. Yeah. And so that way we, you know, can send the fire departments and the firefighters out there to help get that controlled burn back into control. And so that way, you know, we don't wind up with a bigger, you know, fire or, you know, a tragic event or something like that.
Now, when it comes to getting up on the forests or Bighorn National Forest, Game and Fish Territory, BLM Territory, Wyoming Forestry Division Territory, what should we do if we happen to find ourselves within one of those areas and we would like a campfire?
Yeah. And so, you know, the Forest Service never did have any fire restrictions this year up in the mountains. So they, you know, they didn't put any in place. So you could have a campfire and things like that. But, you know, when you do, make sure you have a good fire ring, you know, fire pit within that area, have some water readily available. And before you leave, make sure that that fire is completely out. And so, you know, just dumping water on it and you think is good, but like that, you know, if you put your hand and, you know, have a shovel and mix it around and, you know, you put your hand down on the fire and you can even, you know, kind of stick your hand in there a little bit. And if it's still hot to you, you can't leave that. You don't leave that fire because some wind and everything, and it'll, you know, embers and that wind will kick up and it'll kick up some embers and things like that. So make sure that it's, when it's out cold, that means when you touch it, it's still, it's cold. It's not, you know, warm or hot, you know, that you're like, oh, that's uncomfortable for my hand to be there. If it's uncomfortable for your hand to be there, then it's not okay to leave.
Yeah. Wife and I always end up keeping a certain reserve of water specifically just for that. So that we can dump that. And I always got a little entrenching tool in the back that you mix it around with. And I use the back of my hand because it's more sensitive.
Yeah.
I just kind of touch down there. And if everything's good to go after mixing it around, then we can leave it. Sheriff, I know you got to get going. I greatly appreciate you coming in this morning. Me and the other sheriff will continue, but I want to make sure that you get to your engagement.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Under Sheriff, you guys have been investigating a recent string of burglaries in the county. Can you tell us what the office is seeing in these cases?
Specifically with this recent string of burglaries, it's been predominantly vehicle burglaries, namely unlocked vehicles.
Oh, okay.
Very much preventable. Generally speaking, the items being taken have been firearms, loose change, and cash, tools, or anything of value. You know, it could be like binoculars or something like that. And if something isn't, you know, if they don't see anything they like, they don't take anything. But in some instances, the vehicle doors are being shut and potentially the vehicle owner is seemingly unaware that they've fallen victim to this crime.
And firearms, that itself is a federal offense, isn't it?
Well,
or
it's
a felony.
It's a felony. An aggravated felony for that specifically due to the firearm.
We have a lot of individuals who may be leaving their firearms and unlocked cars. And I, you know, when I was growing up, all the guys had the old rifle rack in the pickup truck window. Heck, my dad did. And it was no big deal back then, but it's kind of a thing now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. I think one of the most important things people could do and I prefer not to leave a firearm in a vehicle, but should they choose to do so, just make sure regardless if it's in the vehicle or not, that they have their serial number documented. Maybe even a photo of the firearm would be great as well.
That way, if anything comes up missing, they know how to report it. What should owners do? Well, for residents heading out of town, we're going to switch gears on this. How can social media habits actually end up increasing their risk?
If I may elaborate on the last portion we were talking about.
Oh, yes, real quick. Please do.
Since you did kind of throw that out as far as it being a recent string of burglaries, which it is, our agency, as well as the Sheridan PD, is actively investigating those burglaries. I know in some instances, because I have a Ring doorbell, as a lot of people do, that if, say, their vehicle is locked or unlocked and they are a victim, if they're aware of fallen victim to an individual either testing their vehicle door to see if it's locked or unlocked or taking anything, please report that to the Sheridan PD or the Sheridan County SO if you live out in the county. Regardless of what agency you call, we can put it in the right hands. But that video footage is also paramount with our investigation, right? So technology's kind of one of the pluses to that is everybody basically has Ring doorbells or some means of surveillance footage in the area. And we greatly appreciate obtaining that from you if you do have it.
Absolutely.
And those crimes, I'm sorry to add on that, but those crimes have actually been probably over the past several months. So I don't think within the last week or two, if you have some older footage that might've been through the summer, we'd love that as well.
Okay. So if we're, and I'm not sure how those work, where they're saved or how long they actually get saved for, but folks, maybe go back and in your video footage, if you happen to have that on hand, look through it, see if there's any suspicious activity taking place. Is there any specific part of the county or town or city, excuse me, that is experiencing this?
Surprisingly, it's been throughout the county and in the city in different okay. areas, and actually out of our jurisdiction as well. So I think with some of these, especially the Ring doorbells, obviously you get that motion sensor that kicks off your phone and lets you know that it's activated and someone's there. So in some of these cases, I do think they have footage of it, but they think because they didn't gain entry into the vehicle that there's no crime. We would still very much love that video footage.
Now, these appear to be pretty much crimes of opportunity. If it's unlocked, then they'll take advantage of it. If not, they're not breaking in, are they?
Yes, so very much correct. So with regard to these recent ones, to my knowledge, they've all been unlocked vehicles.
Okay, so folks, lock your doors up. Locks are there to help keep honest people honest. Make sure that you're using them. Now, switching gears, people heading out of town. They got Thanksgiving coming up. You got Christmas. Let's talk about social media habits. This is something that I've spoken with law enforcement before. I still see friends do it sometimes, and I kind of shoot them a little reminder, hey, you might want to save that for a little bit later. Tell me about some of these habits and how they can actually endanger people.
Well, the reality is we're becoming very much intertwined with technology and social media, and there are people that will put themselves out at each location they're at. Obviously, like if they're flying to another location or on vacation there, they'll put themselves like check-in, I believe is what's used.
Yeah, that's right.
With that being said, when you put yourself there and you post pictures, and if you have a, depending on your privacy settings, I mean, I could essentially see if your whole family's there. If your whole family's there, that is a pretty good indicator to me that everyone's gone, right? So I think it's smart or wise to post those photos after you return from your vacation.
And, you know, have you, during your interviews and your investigations, speaking with some of these bad actors, have any of them just said, yeah, man, it's easy to do. You just monitor social media.
Specifically with not so much burglaries, but like frauds, was one that I would see where they would, find a public account. And I actually fell victim of this myself, with having my, basically what they do is they create an identical profile photo, or picture, created the same account and then friend all your friends.
They steal your identity.
Correct. And a means of getting in. And we've seen that where, they will get to know, you know, when they do that, they ghost it. They can also block you. So you can't see that account
that someone else is using. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I found mine through a roundabout way, and, but it gives them a glimpse into your day-to-day activities and what you're doing and your family structure. And then we've seen it where they've contacted family trying to get money, you know, claiming to be a family member, but they also know specifics that only the family knows, but they've learned through this, through social media and your postings.
Boy, you know, I used to think to myself, you know, when it came to online security or people trying to keep their information private would be a challenge for people in the future, but it really isn't, because we end up sharing so much. I mean, we give them far too much information on this stuff, I feel. You know, one big thing that I would recommend to everybody, and that is, unless you're a business or a nonprofit organization, jump on there and just make everything private. I think that's probably, and that's not even a guarantee, folks. That's just step one to try and protect this. As the undersheriff said, even he's fallen victim to this stuff. These people, this is what they do. Wake up in the morning, and this is kind of their 9 to 5, how they go to work.
Definitely their full-time job.
All right, on that, I got to take another quick commercial break. We're going to have more at the Sheridan County Sheriff's Office right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Plan to attend the Caleb Shrine Christmas Bazaar this weekend at the Shrine Temple in Sheridan. Sale hours are 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Shop handmade crafts, jewelry, home decor, stocking stuffers, baked goods, and a whole lot more. While shopping, enjoy Indian tacos and some pie. Don't forget to buy your raffle ticket because they'll also have hourly drawings for great door prizes. The Caleb Shrine Christmas Bazaar this Saturday, 9 to 2 at the Sheridan Caleb Shrine Temple.
Shan Foster, all-around canine training at Country Pet Inn. You love it when a dog surprises you in a training, and that happened recently when you were training a service dog for someone with MS.
Yeah, a challenge. So I watched the dog and the owner work together and just stayed out of it. What I saw was amazing. Goosebumps just thinking about it. She was adopting behavior that would make them more productive. Something I didn't teach her. She just offset things that I taught her to what she felt were necessary to accomplish whatever tasks they were performing. Pretty cool.
Yeah, so even for as many years as you've been doing this, you can still get surprised.
Oh, I know, and that's one of the things about dog training that I love. It's magical. Two beings that don't look anything alike, and they're forming this union. It's the best feeling. It really is. It's hard to describe, but people in their lives with their dogs in different capacities have probably seen little bits and pieces of this as well. And I just get to see it, I think, more often.
Learn more at countrypetinn.com.
Now is the ideal time to improve your sleep with a new mattress from Moss Holders. Every Beautyrest and every Serta mattress is on sale now. Moss Holders carries 19 mattresses for you to choose from. Whether you prefer super soft, extremely firm, or somewhere in between, Moss Holders has a mattress for you. Once you've selected the most comfortable mattress, you can customize your comfort and receive even more savings with pillows, sheets, and adjustable bases that can help with a deeper, longer, more relaxing sleep. That's Moss Holders Mattress Sale, going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
It's Thursday, and SheridanMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace Hot Buys are open today only. One day pop-up shop featuring local retailers, gifts, gear, goodies with starting bids at half price. Bidding closes at 8 p.m. tonight. Go to SheridanMedia.com. Click on that Fall Marketplace Hot Buys banner every Thursday. SheridanMedia.com's Fall Online Marketplace. Shop smart, shop local, shop today till 8 p.m.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. Proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. Our guest this morning is Sheridan County Undersheriff, Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Halloween just around the corner. Everyone's getting the final touches put on those costumes. I know everyone down at Rocky Horror Picture Show at the YO Theater, super excited. Undersheriff, with Halloween just around the corner, what advice do you have for families to help keep those kids safe this year?
I got a list of things here. I'm actually utilizing the National Safety Council that I just did a quick Google search on, but they have simple steps for an extra safe Halloween. One is costume safety. Be sure to choose a costume that won't affect or won't cause safety hazards. For example, like extra long costumes, wigs, or anything like that. It should also be fire resistant. If children are allowed out after dark, have reflective tape on their costumes, bags, or give them glow sticks, which I've seen, which seems to be much more common nowadays.
The kids love them. Oh, the kids love them.
It's great. It's so easy to see invisible because it's pretty hectic in some of these neighborhoods that dish out like really good treats. You know, you'll see tons of kids, tons of vehicles, and there's just so much going on and so much light. It is very hard to see the kids. But as far as costume safety, obviously makeup over masks, which can obscure vision. Make sure that it's small makeup to test it first so they don't have an adverse reaction to it either. As far as kids out on the prowl, so to speak, they had a scary statistic. It says children are more than twice as likely to be hit by a car and killed on Halloween than any other day of the year.
My goodness.
Lack of visibility because of low lighting at night also plays a factor in those incidents. But obviously an adult should accompany young children on the neighborhood rounds. If you're older children going alone, plan and review a route that's acceptable. Because obviously they're focused on going to the houses, right?
Oh,
they're not
yeah.
so much focused on the traffic.
And everybody knows where those good neighborhoods are.
Yeah. And teach your children never enter a stranger's home or car. Don't have your children eat any of the treats until they return home. And go only areas that are well lit. Obviously, we know that as well, because if the house is completely dark, usually that's a pretty good indicator. They've either gone to bed for the night or they're not in town, right?
Yeah.
Not home.
Or just the folks that just don't partake in
Correct.
Halloween.
Yeah.
Some years I know that there's been times where we were busy and just turn off the porch light and that'll end it right there. That people won't approach. But I just wish more people would come to my house for Halloween. I had one good trick-or-treater. Longtime listeners know this. I've talked about that kid for a number of years. Faithful little guy coming up. I think it's because I gave him the whole bowl of candy every year. He said, you know what? I'm going to go right there. Now, what about adults? Because it is on a Friday night, LT. Folks are going to be out having a good time. What should they keep in mind?
That's a great question. So safety tips for motorists is obviously watch for children walking on roadways, medians, and curbs. Enter and exit driveways and alleys carefully. At darkness or twilight, watch for children in dark clothing and then discourage new and experienced drivers from driving on Halloween. My own experience is obviously we all know those neighborhoods that are the best for getting those Halloween treats, and usually they're just overrun and parking's at a premium. So either they're stopping, the parents stopping in the middle of the road to let their kids out, or the kids are just going in between the vehicles and not using crosswalks, or there's no crosswalk to be had because the vehicle's already, you know, maybe taken up that corner. So just be extra careful and potentially just maybe when you know it's going to be packed, just be happy getting that parking spot maybe another block away and walking in.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, hey, walking's half the fun, you know, traversing the neighborhood as a team. Now, when it comes to folks going out, there's going to be a lot of Halloween parties. You know, we've been doing really great as a county, as a city for keeping those DUIs down. Any thoughts on that? Any recommendations?
Oh, absolutely. Obviously, with this hitting on a weeknight or weekend night, rather, it will likely be a very busy Halloween. With that in mind, you know, if you are planning on doing a partaking in a party or having some fun, plan ahead and get a designated driver to keep you going, keep you happy, and then we don't have any concerns or you don't wind up in jail.
Yeah, absolutely. Just make sure that you're going to get home safe,
yep,
folks.
And keep those kids and everybody else that's going to be on the street safe as well.
Absolutely. All right, moving on down the line, sir, it is now time to look at the new scams that criminals are using to get a hold of some hard-earned money. What kind of scams are you seeing most often this month here in Sheridan County?
Well, this one isn't – well, actually, this has been the most common one. We fielded quite a few calls on it. So this one entails essentially a scammer, not pirating, but creating or ghosting an actual legitimate website or business. And so we're getting multiple calls from victims throughout the nation that have purportedly purchased an item from this business that is here locally, and it very much is not – the business selling the product.
Oh, wow.
I've seen last year, I had a similar instance, this being a business that was located out of state, but we did have a victim of the fraud here in Sheridan County. And in essence, they're becoming more sophisticated. So in my case, they actually created a very sophisticated, realistic website. And what they did is they sold items on Marketplace and they'll show up, like say for Sheridan area, but you can tell that they're likely out of state. That's another, like, probably your first clue. But what they do is they have an item that's at too good of a price. They also have a link. And so that link directs you to what appears to be a sophisticated, realistic website. And then they go through the website, see all these items, see this building, assume it's actually a legitimate building and business. And they go through and they're actually wiring funds. So this isn't like the money cards that we've talked about before with other scams. They're actually wiring money to a legitimate bank account.
Yeah.
In my instance, they also provided the transport, and they provided the transport and then came up with excuses as to why the item hadn't arrived in Sheridan County. And that just prolonged the scam. So some of these banks, you can create an account without even going into the bank. You can do it all electronically. And in this instance, what they did is there was multiple victims throughout the nation, and a fake business, fake website, and they keep the account going because once a bank gets privy to the scam, they're going to shut that account down. So that's what they keep in contact with you. They don't ghost you. They keep telling you, hey, we had an issue. We'll give you a discount on that transport to buy more time to get more money into that account. And then obviously when it's shut down, then there's just another account opened.
Yeah, wow.
So with regard to the ones we're seeing one here locally, the best thing you can do is maybe do a Google search, right? The biggie is with these frauds, you have time. They want you to think this is a sweet deal you're going to miss out on if you don't pull the trigger fast. But you have time. Go through Google the website, see if the phone number is legitimate. If it's something different and you can see it's a legitimate website off your Google search, then call that number. Right. Mm-hmm. Make sure to talk to the same person or salesperson you've been talking to. Maybe check out the Better Business Bureau. That's another link to kind of see if it's legitimate or not.
And that's one of those situations where everything ordering offline is just becoming so dangerous sometimes. You need to do your homework, especially for those sweet deals. Not that there's not great deals out there that are legitimate, but you have got to do your homework. And you're right, sir. You know, we've got a lot of time to get it done. This doesn't have to be purchased today. If the deal is that good, they're going to end up holding on to it and letting you have it for that price if they're legitimate. And I think every legitimate business out there, especially if they find out that they've been, what do they call it, ghosted, copied kind of in a way, are more than happy to work with you and just say, hey, look, they're not legit. I can't offer you that deal, but I can offer you this one. So make sure that you're calling those places, folks. How often are we seeing this, sir?
In this instance, obviously the scam just by happenstance was out of Sheridan County as far as what they were mirroring, right? So they were ghosting a legitimate business in town. And other than that, I don't think we've had any victims of the fraud itself in Sheridan County. It's just that's who they're choosing to target at this juncture. But with these bigger businesses, another great aspect of that is if they're selling all these products, they're going to have multiple staff on hand. They might have a service department. With these other ones where it is a scam, it's going to be the same one or two people you're talking to, right? And obviously, if you see a big business, if they have a bunch of photos of things, big building, obviously you're going to have a lot of employees.
Absolutely. Now, when it comes to individuals who may feel that they have fallen victim to this, I know there's a bit of embarrassment. They feel, look, I got taken advantage of, and I'm not big on telling a lot of people that. But if you have fallen victim to any kind of scam, what should they do?
Obviously, you can call local law enforcement. If you are indeed a victim, we want you absolutely to do that. We have some people that think this might be a scam, and they'll call. And obviously, that's a great thing to do, too. We can let you know, yeah, don't do anything. Don't send any money. It's nice to make us seemingly aware of it. But what we can do is you can also go to the FBI website, and it'll direct you to like internet fraud.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what the acronym is for it, but you can go through and register, and they take it on a national level. So what they do is they track all these, because a lot of these scams with these scammers aren't obviously in our county, right? They're throughout the nation, different areas, maybe offshore, but in its totality, FBI being a federal agency, they have the ability and oversight to enforce and investigate these crimes as they occur on a national level.
And, you know, I will say I've gone on that FBI website multiple times to get information. And folks, a lot of times, if you feel, hey, is this a scam, you can call the sheriff's office, or if you're just sitting there doing your homework anyway, visit that FBI website, because they've probably seen this exact situation, and they can give you details on how it's going to work, or how they've seen it work in the past. And if you feel like, hey, I think I'm going down that same trail, then you still have the ability to kind of pull the cord on that and make sure that you don't fall victim. Because sometimes some of these scammers are just getting, well, let's just say for what it is, really good at what they do. A lot of these websites look very legit. If in doubt, call the sheriff's office. That's what I would say. Under sheriff, I do have about 1 minute left if you've got the statute of the month and would just like to read it.
I very much do and would. This one's kind of in a line with Halloween. It's illegal parking. So parking alongside or on the edge of roadways. It's a $100 fine. You need to park within 18 inches of the curb with the right-hand wheels. Park the same direction as the traffic movement, no cutting across to the other side and facing against traffic. And ensure you're parking in a legitimate location, not in front of a fire hydrant, no parking zone or corner, as we routinely see during Halloween, because parking's at a premium for those great neighborhoods. So just make sure, park a block away. You know, don't be eating up that corner where the kids are going to be crossing, because then the Halloween kids are going to be required to go in between vehicles, and they're just that much harder to see for the vehicles that are traveling on the roadway.
A little inconvenience for you folks, you know, may end up saving a life though. And so just keep that in mind as you're looking at that. And you know, every time I hear about a fire hydrant, I think people aren't going to do that. And then I end up seeing it somewhere. So make sure that you're not doing that either. Under Sheriff, I want to thank you so much for coming in this morning, sir. It's always a pleasure having you on.
Likewise. Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to the Hub on Smith.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Winter weather can wreak havoc on your vehicle. Sheridan Auto Spa can help you protect your vehicle inside and out from damage and deterioration. Applying a ceramic coating from Sheridan Auto Spa creates a protective barrier against environmental elements. Interior detailing protects upholstery, leather, and vinyl from fading, cracking, and staining. Protect your investment with a detailing package from Sheridan Auto Spa. Gift certificates also available and make a great gift. Sheridan Auto Spa in Sheridan.
Big dealerships have big budgets for big advertising, but the truth is that major sponsorships cost big bucks. Here at Prime Rate Motors, we choose to sponsor our local youth and local worthwhile programs, all the while passing that savings on to you, our customer. We are locally owned with the same ownership and management for over 40 years. If we don't have what you need, we'll find it and we'll stand behind it after the sale, because we live here, we work here, and we raise our families here. Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeen Avenue.
Hey, it's Jamie, Armchair Eggers from Carroll's Furniture, quarterbacking from my Lazy Boy in the Carroll's Furniture and First Northern Bank Pro Football Pick'em. We're throwing down in the KRE Morning Show. Here's what happened.
We want to do Survivor picks? I guess we can
do one
more game in this.
Let's do Survivor right now.
What do you think, Jamie?
I might do the Chicago-Baltimore pick.
Whoa.
Chicago.
I like that.
Place pick right there.
No.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Hey, sorry, can I have that kidding. One?
Yeah.
Turn it around.
Use the other side.
James is going to use the other side.
That thing is not pointed.
Yeah. Hey, it's Magic Melanie with First Northern Bank. Play along with us this week for a chance to win $100 in Anheuser-Busch merch from Bighorn Beverage. Click on the Pro Football Pick'em banner on the contest page on SheridanMedia.com and tune in every Wednesday morning to KROE 103.9 FM at 7:40 to hear our picks and all the banter.